Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Voices Caring for Animals, number 368 shows and counting this evening. It's going to be another great show. I want to welcome all you new listeners that's coming aboard. Hope you enjoy the show. Keep spreading the word. And all you returning listeners, thank you all so much for all your support and all the you that's helping to promote this show every Thursday. I mean, the list is huge on Facebook friends and followers and groups and pages I admin. Fans of animal rights, want to give them a big shout out to Animal Advocates Alliance and All About Animals Radio producer Gary Bowden. A big shout out to him because we're partners and helping each other out on the website where I'm posting as Mama Bear. My name is Debbie Dahmer. I am the producer and host of Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Caring for Animals, coming to you live every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. And you can listen in worldwide. You can listen by the phone. I will be taking calls later on in the show. And the area code is 310-982-4270 and press 1. You'll be in the queue, and that'll alert me that you want to speak to the guest. Try to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. All these shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio, so you can go back and listen to them 24/7, 365 days a year. And you can do that by going to blogtalkradio.com/voicescaringforanimals. And it'll bring all the links up. You can follow my show, the podcast. Just press follow, put your email address in, and every time that there is a new upcoming broadcast, it will alert you in your primary email. And also, this show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online. Marty Oakley proudly promotes this show every Thursday. That's where all these shows originated from, TS Radio Network, Voices Care for Animals. First show through 163rd, and that was in June of 2014 up to March of 2018, and she helped me get on my own to Animal Advocates Radio, and I can't thank her enough for doing that, and also posting it on the PPJ Gazette. And on the right-hand column, you could, in the search, you can put Voices Carry for Animals, or you could put Debbie Dahmer in there, and all the archive shows will pop up. And just press which link you'd like to hear. Wait a minute for it to download, and it will play. You could share them also from the bottom of the PPJ Gazette on the promos to all the social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. This list is huge. And, you know, just to get the word out there, because the more exposure and the more awareness out there, the better for our animal friends in need. So I want to just go over a couple things before we bring my guest on. There is a big problem in here in Keystone, Iowa, a pit bull ban, and it's terrible, everyone. So if you're living in Iowa, please contact your state representatives, area code 202-224-3121. There's already 10 families that are getting, you know, warned that their pets is going to be taken. And this is not right to blame pit bulls. You know, one bites and they take it out on all of them, because they all deserve a chance. They shouldn't all be punished for it. So please, if you want to, I have on my Voices Carry for Animals support group on Facebook, on my regular timeline. If you stroll there, there's information. There's a news video. And please, we have to do something. They need our help, because I know these families are devastated and going through a very stressful time of having to have their pets taken away, or they'll get fined. I think the first time is $750, and the second time is over $1,000. So we have to all fight this. I'm here in Florida, so it's not, you know, I can't fight it from here. But I know it, all of you in Iowa, please pass the word, and let's get this reversed, because this is not right for the pit bulls. But anyway, I want to go ahead and get my the guest on, and I hope all of you enjoy the show. A big shout-out to all you animal advocates and activists and animal lovers that are out there to help the animals out, because they have no voice. They're helpless, defenseless, innocent. So please, everyone, keep doing what you're doing. Don't give up. Never give up hope. And you were their only hope to carry on. And when we take our actions and we go forth and call our state representatives, area code 202-224-3121, and they'll ask for your zip code during business hours. You could, you know, get hold of your state representative or senator. And or you can even email them, find your state representatives or state senators. But please, everyone, let's do something about this and this big problem in Iowa with this pit bull ban, BSL law, and it's scaring the families there. So let's stand with them and stand with the pit bulls, because, you know, all animals deserve better, and they deserve a chance. And to take your pet away from your home is so devastating, and it's so unfair and injustice. It's discrimination. But anyway, I'm going to get started here. And my guest tonight is Dr. Michael A. Wong. He's DVM, founder of Southeast Veterinary Neurology, a veterinary neurologist. And welcome him aboard. It's such an honor and a pleasure to have him on here. Our topic's going to be neurology conditions in dogs, seizures, paralysis, and balance problems, what Seven does to help these pets and their families, challenges families encounter in getting care, cost, anesthesia, et cetera. Southeast Veterinary Neurology recognizes the special bond between people and animals and consider strengthening these relationships to be one of our purposes in this life. When it is neurological problems such as seizures, of inability to walk, paralysis, and even to be scarier. We keep families together by giving second chances to pets with their neurological disease and hope to the people who love them. I'm going to bring him on board. And this is such an honor, and I want to really thank him for joining us this evening. Dr. Michael A. Wong. How are you this evening? Welcome aboard. This is such an honor.
Hi, thanks. Thanks, Debbie. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be chatting with you tonight, and you know, all the things that you're doing are pretty amazing. So, really happy to be here.
Oh, thank you, and happy to have you. You know, this is such an honor, and I've been sharing all over social media with a lot of help. It's getting out there, and all you listeners out there, if you want to call in, I'll be taking calls around 7:30. If you would like to speak to Dr. Wong, just remember, try to refrain from any noises in the background, and if you're coming in late, you can always go back to these shows and listen to them. But go ahead, Dr. Wong. Go ahead and tell us how you got started, because you're the founder and everything. I was checking out your website and your Facebook page and your videos, and you're amazing. You're just a shining star out there for the animals, you know, and their parents, you know. You're bringing them hope, because we love our, you know, pets. They're our furry loved ones, and we want to give them the best care possible. They deserve it. You know, feel comfortable, because when we're sick, we want help or something happens, and we want the same with them. But go ahead and start with the audience and how you got started.
Yeah.
Yes.
I appreciate that. So, I'm one of those veterinarians that always wanted to be a veterinarian since I was little. So ever since, you know, I can remember 4 or 5 years of age, I was saying I wanted to be a veterinarian, and I just like all veterinarians, went to undergrad and, you know, volunteered a lot and got into veterinary school. And then about halfway through veterinary school, I decided that I wanted to specialize in neurology. Just, you know, it just seemed like a very interesting subject, and things that were very, very scary to clients, you know, things like seizures and paralysis and balance problems, just very, very dramatic conditions that it seemed very, very rewarding to me that I might be able to fix those things. So as I went through veterinary school, I would have an interest in cardiology, and I'd say, gosh, you know, I did really well in cardio. It makes sense. Okay, I want to be a cardiologist. And then, you know, through surgery, that course went great. You know, I'm really interested in that. But kind of when neurology came around, in my studies, I knew that was it for me. So after that, ended up doing a residency in neurology and neurosurgery. And at the end of those 3 years, it was one of these things that I was looking for a job and at a multi-specialty hospital. But the way I like to tell it is, you know, none of them were willing to hire me. So I kind of branched out on my own and said, you know, well, gosh, if I were to do neurology and start my own business, you know, what would I be able to do? And, you know, some of it, sure, is it's quote unquote doing it my way. But our approach, you know, I wasn't allowed to have a dog as a kid. And that was kind of one of the things that led me to being a veterinarian. My mom had said, you know, when you're a veterinarian, you can have as many dogs as you want. And I said, well, that sounds pretty fantastic. So my first dog, his name was Sir William, and I got him in veterinary school. And, you know, he just became my best friend. All the things that you said of, you know, they're innocent, and, you know, they need us to advocate for them. And those are kind of the things that when I started the Southeast Veterinary Neurology, you know, I really took the approach of, What would Sir William want, you know, if he had a neurological condition? And we sort of built the practice around that. We also had a dog named Sasha that we adopted as a paralyzed dog. We adopted her and, you know, very much took the approach of, well, gosh, what would Sasha want as a neurological pet? So Southeast Veterinary Neurology was very much built on that idea of what would William want. You know, if he suddenly became paralyzed on a Friday afternoon, he would want to be seen by a specialist, you know, as soon as possible. He wouldn't want to have to wait until Monday morning. So one of the things that from very, very early on was just, hey, we're going to be there when a pet needs us or when a family needs us. You know, what would William want? He would want to be treated like family. You know, he would want me as the pet owner, as the pet parent, to be taken care of. So, you know, our approach was, well, we're going to treat, you know, not just the pets like they're our own, but the people like their family. What would William want? He would have wanted the highest level of expertise and equipment and things like that. So we were the very first place in the state of Florida to have an MRI of the caliber that we were using back then. So so that's kind of how things started out or why they started out and many of the underlying values or principles that we had, you know, from day one. One of the other things in founding, just we very much made it a point to meet every single veterinarian in South Florida, just because to me it's all about relationships. You know, pet care, veterinary care is going to be best if it's a team effort. So, you know, the specialist, the primary care veterinarian, the emergency veterinarian, and obviously the pet and the family need to be working together. So that was one of the other things, you know, as we opened up, as we started, that was just really, really important and was really important to us.
Oh, yeah, and what you're doing, it's so, I mean, uplifting, inspiring, and giving, you know, the families hope to carry on. And you're an animal lover. Real men, women, and children love animals. I mean, animal lovers. And they mean so much to us. And when something goes wrong or they're in need of help, we're there for them, and we have to be there for them. So we cannot give up hope, you know. And you probably, with all the things you do, you've probably got so many stories to tell of happy endings, right? I mean, you have to, because you're a shining star for all of them. And just keep it up, because it's so meaningful. And you know, what you're, you know, with the fund that's, you know, helps people, you know, with that's, you know, can't afford it. Because sometimes, you know, when there's surgeries and stuff like that, it can get up there high in bills, you know. So, and some people can't afford it. And here you got this fund that's going on that helps, you know, everyone. And that's even better yet, you know. So it's just wonderful how, you know, they don't have to get downhearted and say, well, I can't afford it, and the only alternative is to either put them down or something, you know. And you give them that hope and encouragement. Because that's what it feels like. I can't afford it, you know, and that's a sad part. But you're there for them.
I appreciate you saying that, you know, because, like, really, you saying giving hope, you know, you're really speaking to my heart there, because that's really what we do, you know. The reason I get up in the morning, you know, is to help dogs walk again. And, you know, there's kind of nothing more rewarding to me than having a dog that comes in paralyzed or unable to walk. And, you know, that family lets me sort of do my thing. You know, we do MRIs, we do surgeries, or whatever it takes to fix that dog. And it's, you know, that dog that couldn't walk but then goes home walking and wagging its tail, and that family that really had no hope. Because the reality is, you know, and what I explain to the team a lot is, this is something that we see day in and day out, you know, 5, 6, 8 times a day. You know, a dog that can't walk, or a dog that's having seizures, or a dog that, you know, is off balance. And for most families, it's the very first time that they're going through it. And quite frankly, hopefully the last time they're ever going through it. But, you know, we have to see it through their eyes of, oh my gosh, you know, this is my beloved pet that was normal running around, you know, a day ago, and now is severely affected. Again, whether we're talking about paralysis or, you know, dragging the back legs or seizures or balance problems, it's scary to them. And it can be that they don't know what's going on, and they don't know whether their pet's going to get better. They don't know why this is happening, and they kind of come to us in that hour of need. And you know, what's so rewarding is we can take a really, really bad situation and be able to turn it around for that family. And sometimes, even if it's something that we can't fix, or if it's something that the family doesn't want to proceed with care or can't afford care, at the very least, like you said, we're providing hope, because many times we can walk families through, well, this is what's going on, and this is the likelihood of getting better, and here's what you need to do to get that. And sometimes that's all families need, is to know, hey, there's a light at the end of this tunnel, because many times, families who've never seen a dog paralyzed or whatnot, they think, oh, my gosh, there's no hope. This is the end. And, for us to be able to step in and help there, again, that's why I get up in the morning. You talked a little bit, or you brought up a little bit of the fund and I guess some of the barriers to doing tests, because, the reality is veterinary medicine has specialized and we practice at an incredibly high level. The MRI machine that we have in the building is the exact same MRI machine at the hospital down the street. Sometimes it's better than some of the hospitals have. We've got round-the-clock care. We've got neurologists that are, there are only about 350 neurologists in the world, and we've got 8 of them that work in our offices. So yes, there are costs to run that sort of care or deliver that sort of care, and it's one of these things that, like I said, these families, they're devastated, that they had no idea that a neurologist existed. They had no idea that their dog could ever become paralyzed or have a seizure or whatnot, until it happens. So most of them are incredibly unprepared for what we're about to recommend, the biggest challenge for me is, the thing that keeps me up at night is I know there's a dog that I can fix. I know there's a dog that, I can give hope to this family. I can keep this family together. But with, unfortunately, things like finances get in the way. And it's this thing that literally every veterinarian goes through. And I know, there are lots of people that sort of say, well, gosh, veterinarians should be doing it for free and things like that. But, literally every veterinarian at some point gives away some services. But, most veterinarians can't actually afford to give away free services. Lots of people think veterinarians make a lot of money, and the reality is, that in order for them to run their business, run their service, have that round-the-clock care, have that specialized care, many times they can't do things for free. So as much as every veterinarian just wants to fix dogs, that's why all of us went to vet school, the reality is there are costs to do these things. And, in the past, and still to this day, we do. We provide some discounts and, we provide some pro bono services, but by itself, it's not a sustainable thing for us to do. I forget what the exact number is, but, I think, I don't know if it's 2020 or 2021, they put together, and we did, I want to say just over $250,000 worth of, free and pro bono services for rescues and for clients in need and for, for the families that needed the care. And it's just not sustainable for us to do those sorts of things. And that's where this Veterinary Care Foundation that we've been able to set up is really a game changer for us.
That's wonderful. I mean, and everyone, if you could give out your website there, Dr. Wong, and the Veterinary Care Fund donations on there, and whatever you can give, you can help out. It's meaningful, out there to families that can't afford this kind of surgeries or whatever, and we're keeping hope alive for all these animals in need. And care, and you're given the ultimate support here, Dr. Wong. That is wonderful. I mean, so inspiring. So, if you give out your website, and listeners out there, please spread the word. And they're also on Facebook also. You know, keep spreading the word, because you never know when each one of us will be in need of help. And you're in Florida. There's, what, three offices in Florida, Dr. Wong? And another one in, yes, three in Florida. So all you listeners out there from Florida, you know, check out the website and you know, hey, make some donations. Hey, money makes the world go round, and nothing is free nowadays. So whatever you can do to help out the ones in the families in need, and give them the family's ultimate support, because it's devastating some of the things that can happen to these animals. You know, just like humans. You know, they get the heart disease and they get cancer and everything. Right, Dr. Wong? They're just like us.
Yeah.
They just speak another language.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got feelings and emotions and brains and spinal cords and hearts and things like
everything.
That. So, you know, from an anatomy standpoint, you know, they're very, very similar. You know, the main challenge is they can't talk to us, and that's where as veterinarians and as pet parents and as pet lovers, we're advocates for them. You're right. We do have three locations in South Florida. We're opening one in Virginia Beach, Virginia, that's opening any day now. You know, really, I appreciate you asking your listeners to help out. You know, my goal is to, you know, provide value to your listeners, and, you know, if they've got questions, you know, I'm happy to answer those as best as I can. You know, the website is SEV, like Southeast Veterinary, then the whole word neurology, neurology.com, and again, that's SEVNEUROLOGY.com. And, you know, there are a couple links on there. We've got lots of information about different neurological conditions. Again, I hope most of you, you know, never need to know about, never need a neurologist, but there are certain breeds that are prone to neurological conditions. You know, dachshunds, French bulldogs, Maltese, boxers, German shepherds, Cavalier, King Charles Spaniels, those are all breeds that are known to get certain neurological conditions. So, again, hopefully you never need us, but, you know, I truly believe education's power. So, you know, there's lots of information on the website about different neurological conditions. Obviously, if your pet has a neurological condition, I think we've got a lot of good information there for you. Also, on our YouTube channel, we've got a lot of, you know, instructional videos and, you know, videos about different topics that if your pet has a neurological condition, you know, even if you live across the United States, you know, hopefully it can be of some value to you. Like Debbie said, you know, there is a link on there to our Veterinary Care Foundation kind of at the top. I believe there are kind of two different links. One says help a pet in need, and then the sub drop or the drop down menu is for the love of pets. So, you know, really, this is, again, what I get up in the morning to do and what I love doing. And, you know, hopefully we never have to turn away a pet in need, because, just again, that's often what happens.
Yeah, that's just, it's so inspiring and so uplifting what you're doing. I mean, and the audience out there, please spread the word, because you never know, you know, especially here in Florida, and there's going to open up in Virginia, you know, their donations will be, I mean, accepted and so meaningful. I mean, it's going to a good cause out there, and to help these animals in need, because without us, they don't stand a chance. So keep that hope alive, and keep these animals, you know, changing their lives. And all the animals is going to especially thank you also when their lives and futures change for the better. And that's what we're there for, because they can't do without us, okay? So they can't walk in by themselves and get the help. We have to take them in there with them and stand by their side, because if they're in serious pain or you know, discomfort, we have to be there for them. And I could just imagine what some of these families go through. So when you give your ultimate support, Dr. Wong, that right there gives them the hope to carry on. And they come out, hey, look at this. I'm glad, so glad we came here and got this care. And you know, with these pets, give them second chances. You know, don't just put them down or, you know, because I know, you know, people that can't afford it and the, you know, they can get, the fees can get up there. But this is, you know, something to look at. And we got a caller here. I'm going to take here in a minute, Dr.
Yeah,
Wong.
Yeah, great.
But I wanted to also read something. I want to give a shout-out to who connected me with you, Jennifer Cohen. She wrote me this, and I have to say it on air because it was so heartwarming and heartfelt, okay? And I hope you don't mind, but she had wrote me. She was going to call in tonight, but she had other plans. But she wrote, I first met Dr. Wong in 2013. My beloved 12-year-old dog, Jake, was limping and x-rays didn't find the problem. Thankfully, my vet recommended me Dr. Wong. He got on the phone with me and told me, hold on 1 second here, and told me I could be looking at financially. I was in the middle of a divorce, and it was not a great time to have a potential $15,000 veterinary bill looming. Dr. Wong made it possible for my dog to get the care he needed. He is an incredible human being and a brilliant neurologist and neurosurgeon. I literally feel like he walks on water. He saved my dog and gave me 5 extra years with him. I started doing some PR for him, and then all these years later, I now raise money for his charitable fund so that other people can make sure their pets get the help they need. I think it is a beautiful karmic circle. I have such respect, admiration, and gratitude for Dr. Wong. He is so brilliant and yet so humble. I had to bring that up, Dr. Wong, because it was so, I was like, check this out. You changed her dog, Jake, and then, you know, let him stay 5 more years. Do you know what that did? And we know we're our pets and our humans are all on here temporarily, but you're amazing. Isn't that something? And Jennifer Cohen, I hope you play this back. And I want to really thank you for this great connection and what you said about him because it's so impressive. So, but I hope, you know, to have you on here again. And this is,
happy
have shows
to do
that. Yes, I have shows that will depress you, you know, but we always got to think positive. We take the negative into the positive because that's when we see changes is when we take action. And when she wrote that, she took action and got 5 more years. Rest in peace, Jake. You had a great mommy there, you know, that took good care, and so did Dr. Wong. That is so heartwarming.
She's the best, and her daughters are amazing. And, you know, just those sorts of things, again, that's exactly why we do what we do. And you know, the impact that we made on, you know, on her family, you know, is just that's why we do what we do. So important to her.
Yes. Hey, got to give recognition when recognition is due. You know, she also sent me some photos of her and Jake. Well, beautiful photos.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, wow, check them out, you know. But that, I was so glad that she shared that with me. So, you know, she went and said, hey, I can't be there, but I'm going to let you know this information. Isn't that wonderful? Not only the connection,
fantastic,
but what you did for her and Jake. That's wonderful. But I got a caller calling in, Dr.
Yeah,
Wong.
Please.
Yes. And I love doing these shows. They're so meaningful. You know, all these great guests and callers and listeners and all the help I get promoting these shows. A big shout out to all of you for making it a total success. Area code 631, you are live and on air. You have any questions or comments for Dr. Wong? Go right ahead.
Yes, I do. Florentino, Debbie.
Hi, Lauren. How are you?
Hi,
Thank
Florence.
You for calling in.
Hi.
Yeah, this is the other former guest.
Oh.
Yes.
Thank
save
you.
The animal, save the world. She's been on here, and she's going to be coming back on sometime before the end of the year. How's that? This is wonderful, Lauren. Go
That's
ahead.
Good to me. I've never met a person who loves animals so much that you would go about doing this. Some veterinarians are in it for the money, but it's such refreshing that you took your dream and made it a reality. And you must give those families like a kind of like a breather because, let's face it, it's very expensive for an animal to have that type of surgery, you know. But I wanted to ask you something. It's a little difficult to talk about, but okay. All right. Pit bulls. Unfortunately, when they are abused, they're hit on the head with heavy objects, whether it's abuse, dog fighting, or anything above. So a lot of times, like when someone adopts them, you know, they're not really sure, you know, what the problem is, because even for my female pit, she was definitely grown to be a dog fighter, but I had to put her on 60 milligrams of Prozac because it was, you know, a behavior kind of thing. And I noticed a lot of times when, you know, you see videos of animals and they're just shaking. I mean, it could be nerves too, but, you know, that's where I have a hard time with, because that's what happens. They get smacked in the head. Has anybody ever come across, have you ever come across a pit bull that was abused like that, Doc?
Yeah, so I guess from a neurological standpoint and, you know, dealing with the brain, spinal cord, nerves and muscles, you know, sure, head trauma is something that we see. Sounds more like what you're describing is more just, you know, the actual traumatic experience and sort of the anxiety and the fear and things like that that are a result of the trauma. So it's uncommon for us to see actual brain injuries like a concussion or a contusion. You know, we do see that on occasion, but usually that's, you know, a dog that was in a car accident or hit by a car or kicked by a horse or, you know, some sort of severe trauma. So it's really uncommon, I guess, for us as neurologists to see brain injury from, you know, to a big dog. You know, many times if we're seeing a brain injury caused by a dog fight, it's usually a big dog versus a little dog. So it's uncommon for me to see, you know, a pit bull that was hit in the head, so to speak. But what you're asking sounds more like, you know, sort of the nervousness and the fear and the anxiety, you know, after that trauma. That's not exactly, you know, neurological per se, so that's not really in my wheelhouse. That's kind of more where the behaviorists are sort of the special, you know, the expert in that subject. So I guess to answer your question, yes, we see brain injury, but usually it's what we're seeing as neurologists is more the actual, you know, physical trauma, like a skull fracture or a, you know, blood clot in the brain, as opposed to the, you know, the quote-unquote post-traumatic stress disorder or something like that, like a anxiety or fear or something like that.
The only reason why I asked, too, is because a lot of times, you know, when you're on Facebook and social media or you see the videos or something like that, and they actually would say that a dog was abused and the spinal cord, they were hit so hard that it fractured their spine. See, that's the part where I understand what you're saying with owners, You know what I'm saying? Usually owners, if they're, I mean, you never know whether they're abusing the dog or not. You just don't. But my main concern was the fact that when these dogs have no homes and they just drop them off or doesn't that, you know what I'm saying? Like, in other words, did anybody ever bring an animal to you from the street?
Oh, sure, all the time. I mean, we see dogs that are, I guess they're less often brought to us off the street. It's more often that they're taken to the shelter, and then a rescue group comes in and pulls them from the shelter and brings them to us. But yeah, we do that every single day, where we meet a dog that has been, you know, either abused or abandoned or neglected or things like that. But we're usually seeing it because that dog also has a neurological condition. So we're not seeing them because they're, you know, fearful because they were abandoned. We're seeing them because they were abandoned because they were paralyzed, or they were abandoned because they have, you know, frequent seizures, or they were abandoned because, you know, they're in pain and the owners, you know, can't get to the bottom of what's going on.
Yeah.
So, but to answer your question, yes, every single day we meet a abandoned, you know, abused, neglected dog.
Thank you so much. I'm sure other people are waiting. I appreciate your time, Doc. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Hey, thanks, Lauren, for calling in. You know, keep up the great work you're doing out there. You're a great true warrior, animal warrior sister, right? And a part of the Voices Caring for Animals family here. So, but yeah, keep it up, because these animals, you know, they need our care and our love and our attention, and make sure they're comfortable and living in peace, and, you know, not free from abuse, neglect, and torture, and there's some serious situations out there, you know, what these animals go through, and they're so defenseless and helpless, you know, voiceless, innocent. They all needed to be treated with dignity and respect. And, you know, so if we don't get out here and speak just with this radio platform, you know, getting the word out there, the awareness, the education, you know, the Dr. Wong, he's a hero. You know, he's an animal warrior hero. And we give you a standing ovation, Dr. Wong. I mean, this is amazing. Yes.
Well,
I mean, it's so heartwarming and uplifting and positive and all the above. And I love to hear all this, you know, when good news comes in or victories, doing the happy dance. You know, that's our goals, bringing the negative into the positive, because it can be done. It just takes us to, you know, take action. You know, so keep it up. Yes. We will have any more callers, 310-982-4270. You're in the queue. Press 1, and I'll let you in. Just try to refrain from any noises in the background, and you're more than welcome to come on board. And a big thank you to all you animal advocates, animal lovers, activists, what you're doing. It's so meaningful, giving you recognition, giving all of you a standing ovation. Go ahead, area code 719. Go right ahead. You're live and on air. You have any questions or comments for Dr. Wong? And, Lauren, you can stay on air, okay? Go ahead.
Thank you.
Hello, Debbie. How are you doing this evening?
Hey, good. How are you doing there, Ray, a.k.a. Mama Cat? And we got my mother. I want to give her a shout-out. She's listening in this evening. Pat Dahmer, a.k.a. Moose. You don't look like a moose, but she is another name for Mom. You know, like a mama bear. But love her very much. A big hug to her. But go ahead. Another former guest.
Hi, Ray.
How
are you? Long.
Yes.
Hi, Dr.
She takes care of cats. Street cats. Yep, go ahead.
Yes, I do. I just wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything that you do for the dogs and cats, and your neurological story of wanting to do this since you were a child. I think anybody that gets into that field pretty much had a calling from a young age. I had a dog, Ladybug. She had intervertebral disc disease. It came on extremely quickly. She went from, you know, being a regular, she's Catahoula. And then one day, she was fine walking and doing things, but when she would lay down and go to get up, the act of getting up, I mean, she would scream. And it was a cry that went right through your whole body. And we took her to a couple different vets, and my vet tried to help her to the best of his ability, but, you know, he's not a neurologist. And he sent us to a specialist who helped us immensely, and his story is real close to yours. He said he knew he wanted to do this from a young age, being raised on a farm and, you know, coming in contact with animals that had neurological issues, like you said, the not being able to walk and the seizures and things like that. So he was a great help. He got her on the proper medications and treatment, and she was doing a lot better. She was, you know, up there in years, and we recently lost her a couple months back. But the field that you're in is of great importance, and a lot of people can't afford that kind of money, and I also do fundraising to help people be able to pay for their vet bills when they get that high, you know, so they don't have to make that hard choice of either putting them down or getting them, you know, medical treatment. So I just wanted to say thank you for what you do, and I will also be sharing your information so we can get you some more help down there.
Thank you, Ray. You're actually you're my hero. You're the, you know, the pet parent that's been through it. You're the pet parent that, you know, brought Ladybug to a specialist, you know, and you're the person out there advocating to try and help families in need. So, you know, I admire you.
She has a big
heart.
Yeah,
a lot of people can't afford that. That's a lot of money. Her treatment was, you know, a little spendy. Now, my personal vet helped us with that. He does a lot of pro bono for me, for the feral cats. And so he helped me with the first $500 to take her to the specialist. But, you know, I know a lot of vets can't do that. I'm fortunate enough to have one that can. And I don't give his name out enough probably, but that's because I want to keep him all to myself.
Well, I mean, you said a couple things that, you know, I think are spot on, that, you know, pretty much every veterinarian gets into it because it's a calling and because they want to help animals, you know. So I guess one of my hot buttons is when I hear someone say, you know, that vets are in it for the money. And, you know, I literally know zero veterinarians that are in it for the money. And it's easy for people to say, you know, they're usually saying it when they're, you know, when they're in a upset position. You know, I think all veterinarians, if they could do it for free, they would. It's just the reality is they can't. So, so I appreciate you saying that it's a calling. Sorry?
They have bills to pay, too. They've got staff and medications and, you know, everything that they have to take care of as well. And, you know, they can't give everything away free, but I go with the flow. I had one cat that, you know, I normally deal with feral cats, and they're not, a lot of people won't put money into them because you can't touch them. You can't pick them up. You can't love them. But my opinion on that is it's still a living creature. They still deserve to be out of pain. You know, and so I do what I have to do. I had one with a rectal prolapse, and her surgery was $4,800. And everybody tried talking me out of doing it. You know, like, you can save 300 other cats for that price. Yeah, well, I won't be saving her. You know, so I went ahead and did it. And I'm just so glad I did, because She turned out to be a wonderful cat. She's my pet.
Yep.
She sleeps on my pillow, and they're all worth saving.
100%. I mean, those are the tough decisions, but you know, I can assure you that she's happy that you made the decision to help her. So,
absolutely, that's what I say.
You're awesome too.
So
and,
you
and
keep
Dr.
doing
Wong
what
Chi.
You're doing, and we'll keep sharing
yeah.
your info.
That's
right.
right. It takes teamwork right. to see the victories, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, to see positive changes.
Strength in numbers.
The more of us that come together, the stronger we become. You know, strength in
That's
numbers,
cool.
Mama Cat. Yep. Strength
That's
in
right.
numbers. That is so true. So when we keep spreading the word, you know, hey, share the website, the Facebook pages. They're on Twitter, you know. How you can help out, make that donation, whatever you can afford. It's going to a good cause. It's not wasting your
right.
money. It's, you know, it's meaningful. It's heartfelt. And the animals especially thank you when their lives turn for the better and their futures turn for the better. And Dr. Wong Chi takes care of 100. I'm sorry, go ahead.
People are generous. If they hear of a cause, you know, that helps animals. The animal people are so generous, you know, and they will step up to the plate. But if they don't know about a fundraiser or, you know, like Dr. Wong, they may not have ever heard of what he does and such. So just the more we can get his information out there, I plan to share it to our cat page, Community Cats United Florida, you know, to help spread the word.
That's awesome. That is awesome, Ray. You got such a big heart. She takes care of, what is it, 110 feral cats in colonies. And that's why I call her Mama
yep,
Cat.
110.
You did have 125, and it had, what, 15
wow.
adopted? Yeah. So
yeah, we
got
adopted
a big
15
heart.
Of them this summer. So.
Yeah. And that's not including her pets inside the house, right? How many dogs,
yeah,
cats
we're not
inside?
Gonna, we're not going to count them. Lizards,
and I know
snakes, lizard. Dogs, cats. We got it all.
She even has deer come up in her yard. Isn't that
oh,
awesome?
Wow.
Raccoons.
Deer, raccoons, skunks. Raccoons really, really like Pop-Tarts, just in case anybody needs to know that.
She's out in Colorado. And yep, just keep, she's got everything. She sends me photos of, guess who I got a visitor? It's a big deer. Raccoon family, everything, you name it. True animal
so
lover
funny.
Out there, Ray. Yeah, that's awesome. Big heart. Huge heart. True animal lover. And you're always there for
everybody
one.
Needs
wonderful.
A little help from time to time.
That's right. That is so
and,
true.
You know, with the hot temperatures, I put water everywhere.
That's
I got
that's
water
a great
bowls
idea.
All
so
over the
I.
yard and,
yep.
you know.
Yeah, because okay. Florida is so hot down here, I do the same thing, and it helps out so much.
Well,
you could save a wildlife, you know, life, because, I mean, the humidity here is bad. Well, I can't wait till
yeah.
this cool weather comes. Yeah. So that'll be a happy day when that happens. And then Ray will be a guest on here in a couple weeks. We're going to welcome you back, Mama Cat. That'd be awesome. Looking forward to it. So.
Oh, we always have together. Fun when I come on.
Oh, yeah, we do, don't we? That's one thing about this platform. I try to make all my guests comfortable and you know, right at home. Because that's where you're usually calling from, you know. So it's awesome feeling to know, you know, hey, we're doing something. We're stepping up to the plate. And this is not the only thing I do with the radio platform. I, you know, take action. I, you know, call the politicians up or sign petitions or on a social media, I take action, you know, share information and stuff like that, make people aware because, you know, people get busy and, you know, with their jobs and their families and their spouses and everything, and some of them are not really aware of what's going on behind the scenes or, you know, so we have to let them know. And I keep sharing on, keep that share button so important, or, you know, retweet it on Twitter or share it on LinkedIn. It's so important to make us all aware because we have to be on alert on these animals that need our help. You know,
I just thank God for social media. You know, social media has changed advocacy forever. We can, in 5 minutes, we can share and get more information out than we could in a month before. You know, writing letters and all that, it made a difference. But today, social media, by the click of a button, we can share Dr. Wong's information 25 times in a minute, you know, and it's made a huge difference out there.
Yes, it has. It's like a landing strip, you know, bringing it in. Press that share link, everyone. Not the like button serves no justice, okay? Or get mad or whatever.
Right.
Press that share because that's so important. It gets out there in the news feed and, you know, maybe a couple people will swing by it, but then there might be two more that's going to pick it up and share it again. That's how it goes viral.
Right.
And
there's so many
people.
Of us that are, you know, trying to help. And unfortunately, there's so many different species that needs our help. If it's an animal, it needs our help. Because, you know, people have exploited just about every living creature that there is. So, I mean, you know, it's just as long as we keep going, we keep recruiting new people to help us. We have the support of doctors like Dr. Wong and others. I mean, there's no end in sight for us. And, you know, I'm glad to be living in a time I'm living.
That's right, because modern technology, getting the word out, you know, look at the computers and all the websites and all the, you know, social media where all of us can come together. So that's what it takes there, Mama Cat. Keep up the great work you're doing.
Well, I'm going to be quiet now.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling in and appreciate all you do. You know, I love when, you know, having these shows and former guests call in. It's awesome. You know, and the listeners out there listening in, I can't thank all of you enough. And Dr. Wong, we're down to a couple minutes here. Lauren Contino,
yes.
I want to give you a thank you so much for calling in. Save the animal, save the world. Looking forward to having you back on air again, okay? And I'll begin with you on a date and time. And Mama Cat, thank you for all you do and calling in. And look
That's
forward to having you in the show a couple of weeks. And Dr. Wong, thank you so much for coming on air this evening and joining us and giving us such a inspiring, uplifting, you know, conversation here, chatting with you. And so keep up. You know, we're all giving you a standing ovation and a mama bear hug coming through the airways, okay? And looking forward to having you back again. Yeah, and tell Jennifer, please listen to this back, and so she can hear my big shout-out to her for our great connection. You know, so. And
absolutely.
Next week, everyone, Allie Taylor, she's the founder of Voters for Animal Rights. She'll be joining us. It'll be her first time. So 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. And you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescarryforanimals. When the promo is ready, it'll be saying upcoming broadcast. You can press follow, put your email address in, and you'll be alerted in your primary email. Upcoming broadcast is coming up. But thank you all for tuning in this evening. And
thank
hope you.
You
have a great evening and peaceful, and keep
thanks,
up
Doc.
The great work you're doing for the animals. Thank you, Dr. Wong. This is wonderful.
Awesome.
Put me in
thank you. I had a great time.
Positive. Me too.
Thanks.
And you're always welcome back, okay? Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Hope you join in next week. The shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio and the PPJ Gazette Online. Good night, everyone. And hope
good night.
You,
good night,
hope
everybody.
You join us next week. Good night. And God bless you all. Bye-bye.